And boom goes the dynamite. And boom goes the dynamite.
Good evening, and welcome to episode 11 of Boom Goes the Dynamite, the AEW Dynamite review show here on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. I'm Jeffrey. With me tonight is Lawrence. We're back to a two-man booth.
Yep.
But, yeah, Chris had things to do. I had things to do myself, so I kind of missed part of this show today, too. Just the opening bits. But I also did miss AEW Dark. Were you able to?
No,
you didn't see Dark yet. All right. Well, then let's not waste much time. Let's just go. Basic results. Scorpio Sky defeated Jimmy Havoc and Peter Avalon. That sounds like a mismatch.
Oh my God.
I mean, Peter Avalon's good, but that gimmick is awful. I just have no time for it anymore. But Jurassic Express, being Marco Stunt and Luchasaurus, defeated the Beaver Boys. And, I'm sure that was a good one.
Yeah, I'm sure it was pretty good.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and watch it sometime. And then in the sprinkled between the... Between the recaps from Dynamite, from Champagne, Kenny Omega, of course, defeats Kip Sabian in the main event. Not really any surprise there.
Yeah.
Although, one thing that did come up is that they said that, they reiterated the fact, apparently, that Nyla Rose is suspended till the end of the year, which, okay, there's only two Dynamites left in 2019. Is Nyla hiding an injury or something?
I don't know. I have no idea because, I mean, they're playing the suspension angle, so I don't know what's going on.
Well, that's what makes me wonder. I'm wondering if they're, like, hiding an injury, though, because they will do that sometimes.
Yeah, that's a solid point. I have a feeling something might be going on there. Or they're just trying to, maybe they're just trying to build some heat for her. I don't know.
Yeah.
By just not overexposing her. I don't know. It seems kind of odd. When they could really use all the women they could get.
Yeah. And maybe feature more of them in an episode, in a given episode. Because somebody makes a point later in the show, where the hell has Riho been the last few weeks?
Yeah, Brandy actually brings this up later in the episode.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. Very odd. Like,
where the hell is Riho?
Yeah, I mean, it's just
the champion. Is she working Stardom again? Maybe that's it.
I haven't really been paying attention, to be honest.
Yeah, neither have I. So, well, anyway, hopefully we'll get to see her soon. But we move on to AEW Dynamite, Episode 11, live from the Curtis Caldwell Center in Garland, not Dallas, Garland, Texas. Your hosts, of course, Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone, and Excalibur. And I missed the first bit, so Lawrence, let me down, because I already know what I missed. I feel pain from this.
Yeah, John Moxley was out against Alex Reynolds of the Beaver Boys, and Moxley won in probably like 20 seconds.
Yep.
And then Jericho comes in. Oh, actually, well, Moxley also hit Paradigm Shift on John Silver.
He's been hitting a lot of those because he hit a couple of Death Riders in Hiroshima over the weekend. On Lance Archer and Minoru Suzuki.
Oh, that's right. I forgot he's doing New Japan again.
Yeah. So he's had a busy weekend of just hitting Death Rider on people.
But then Yeah, they Jericho came out and they did this promo, and basically like Jericho kind of like hyped him up a lot, and you know, kind of like went over their time and together in WWE and how like Mox went to him for advice quite a bit, and then you know how and they had that really awful cage match that he didn't well he obviously didn't call it the awful cage match, but. But
I didn't see that, so.
It was bad.
Okay.
It was very, very bad. They called it the Asylum match because, you know, Dean Ambrose was crazy.
Right. Except, you know, for the fact that he is so much more comfortable in his skin as Moxley. It's not even funny, you know?
I really wish I was making that up, by the way. That was actually a real thing.
I believe you. I believe
they had they had weapons hanging in the cage, and yeah, it was bad. But yeah, so basically Jericho, he's like, he hyped him up, like telling him it was okay that you laid me out. It means you're still like an asshole, and he's like, you know, Lizzie, think about joining the Inner Circle. And he like gave him a T-shirt, and basically, yeah. And Jericho was like, "Yeah, think about it over the holidays with your wife."
Oh, jeez. Well, I mean, stable dynamics have not really changed that much since 1996, have they?
No, they have not, yeah. Jeff.
Jeez. Well, with one possible exception, but we're not going to mention them because it's not.
Oh, don't worry.
This isn't a New Japan show, so.
It just feels like our whole society is just stuck in 1996 and we can't get past 1996.
Well, yeah, you know, that's probably true.
So, will we ever get past 1996? I guess we'll find out at some point in the next five years.
Hopefully before, you know, I'm, you know, 60. Which isn't that far away if you think about it. So,
I mean, we got a Home Alone reboot coming, so clearly not.
Holy
not
Jesus.
Anytime soon.
Holy Jesus. Anyway, well, I mean, Joe Pesci is back in the movies too because he was.
Well, okay, that's a bad thing though.
Well, you know, I got some feelings about The Irishman, mostly along the lines of, I think I've seen this movie about three other times by Scorsese,
That was, like, my main thing. Like, I haven't even seen it yet, and I'm like, I feel like I'm probably, you know, it's going to be just, like, Goodfellas and...
Yeah, you really have...
Just kind of thrown together and, like...
Oh, my God, yes. You have seen this movie before.
Yeah, so I'm like, yeah, I've been a little hesitant to watch it because I'm like, I kind of know what I'm expecting, but...
Oh, yeah. I won't spoil it too much, but, you know, Al Pacino as Jimmy Hoffa was entertaining, but...
Oh, well, that's... Yeah, I mean, Al Pacino is never not entertaining.
But, yeah, believe me, this is not... I question people who say this is a masterpiece because the only thing I'm going to say is that movie did not need to be 3.5 hours damn hours long.
Oh, they think I'm going to be sitting down watching a 3.5 hour movie in 2019. Oh, they got another thing.
Oh, coming. Yeah. No, we had to split it up into like three sittings because, yeah, hell no. Anyway,
oh God.
Speaking of gangs and stables and things, the next match, Cody Rhodes and our favorite apple eater, QT Marshall, up against the in-ring debut of The Butcher and the Blade in AEW. I missed most of this match, so Lawrence, I know you were pretty hyped on this.
Man, yeah, this was really awesome. This was, I think, the best possible way, like, you could debut Butcher and Blade in the company. Because they looked really, really dominant for, like, a pretty good stretch of this match. And a lot of that had to do with, like, just QT being just absolutely, you know, worked all over by them for... a really long stretch. It was a very Southern tag style type of match. Very, like, where, you know, QT, there was a lot of teases where he almost had Cody tagged in, but they cut him off a lot of in a lot of different neat ways, you know, including with Allie, you know, the bunny being involved, and just yeah, they, you know, using their power to their advantage. But then finally, QT did. Because like QT at one point he was about to tag Cody in, but Butcher got thrown to the outside, but then Butcher like pulled Cody off the apron, and which was a real I thought that was a really really great spot, and it was just like another it just made the hot tag that was coming even bigger, and then yeah he eventually did finally make it, and Cody came in house on fire, he was taking them out all everybody out. And finally, QT, Cody started to get, he got gouged, eye gouged by, Allie. And, QT ended up blind tagging Cody, pushed him out of the way. He, like, hit Blade to the outside, and then did this crazy luchador-esque tope. The clumsiest looking lucha tope I've ever seen, but god damn it, if it wasn't entertaining as all fucking hell. This guy just like flipping QT Marshall, everybody.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
Maybe those apples are really loosening him up in more ways than one. sorry. Yeah, so I did catch the end of this, and of course, you know, QT takes the pinfall in the end. But yeah, it's not like you were really high. Are you gonna put stars to this one? Or?
I would give this a solid like 3.75 star or whatever, or 4 star. I don't know. I love this. It was incredibly entertaining TV match.
And then.
Did its job. Its job. I mean, it really did its job. I mean, for everybody here, MJF. This is the next thing after. Well, actually, well, first of all, I'm sorry about Darby Allin came out.
Yeah, Darby Allin came out,
and it kind of now is kind of in Cody's corner.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so I mean, we kind of saw that coming because I mean, he came to the aid of the Elite a couple of times during the earlier episodes of Dynamite, but yeah, so it looks like you know, maybe seeing some sort of tag team or alliance between Cody Rhodes and Darby Allin, which is good because I mean, we'd be kind of wondering where the hell he's been.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this MJF promo that I got a phone call in the middle of it, so I had to take. So tell us about the promo.
This was not one of his finer pieces of work, I felt. I think MJF. Sometimes his substance doesn't match his bravado, if that makes any sense.
No. I think it does, but go on.
And I think this was one of those cases where it didn't really grab me. Like sometimes his dick heel shtick does. Yeah, he is like when he hit the crossroads why am I drawing a blank here?
I don't know. I mean, I saw he hit that. I saw he hit a crossroads on some random security schmuck.
Yeah, I mean, that's who it was. Yeah, that's what. Yeah, it was like the security guard that they hired. And he's like basically like, you know, how did that crossroads look? Blah, 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 blah. You know, because, you know, everybody was goofing on him from the other week.
He had it coming. So.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. And then he got, like, pissed about, like, him being called, Cody calling him a knockoff Chris Jericho. It's like, and he's like, he said, people, they call his scarf fake, and, like, and then he was like, when he thinks of the word fake, he thinks of Cody, and then he's like, the only thing that's real about Cody is his shitty little lisp.
Damn.
Yeah, I don't know. It was like, he's like, he said has a few stipulations for a potential match for them, but he won't tell them about them in Honkyville, Texas. And said, you know, he'll give the stipulations down in Jacksonville.
Okay, so that's like the New Year's Day show.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. This wasn't like this was nothing to write home about. He's had a lot better ones than this, I would say. It didn't do a whole lot, I felt, for.
Yeah, I mean, I can't, like I said, I was on a phone call for most of it, so I couldn't really say much, unfortunately. So, but moving on, we got to a really good promo. Another vignette from the Dark Order. There's now a website, joindarkorder.com. So I think I may be hitting that tomorrow.
Yeah,
but no, I absolutely do love these promos.
Yeah, these are really interesting. Now you're moving it towards actual people on the roster, which is what I wanted. Which is I find actually very interesting, and now you know they're doing this to it was Alex Reynolds, who just had lost in the opener, so it was very appropriate.
Yeah,
and had lost on Dark the previous week, and well, you know, this week where they filmed it last week, whatever, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
But so yeah, and then like, they're like, he was like sitting down in the hotel room, and then yeah, they're the on demand screen turned to like the Dark Order guy telling them. And then John Silver walked in, and he was like, what the fuck's going on?
As if he just caught his partner watching one of the adult movies offered on your average hotel TV network.
Yeah. So that was interesting. I wonder, you wonder if like they actually will do something with this with them. And are they going to be part of that? And I don't know. It's going to be interesting to find out. I guess that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm hoping so because, I mean, again, I think that would be the best move to do.
But, yeah.
Yeah. The next actual wrestling match, we had our one women's match of the evening, which... You know, I am starting to get a little irritated by the lack of the the lack of women's matches relative to this show. But this time around we had Emi Sakura taking on Big Swole, and I actually really enjoyed this.
Yeah, this
is
good.
I thought this was a good match, and I thought it was a really good showcase for Big Swole, who did get the victory. They're kind of leaning in a lot on, Emi Sakura using that Freddie Mercury mic stand as a weapon. But, other than that, you know what? Were it not for the commercial breaks, I would have gotten a higher. I actually gave this 2.5 stars.
Yeah, no, that's pretty feasible. I like this. This is very good. I think Emi Sakura has been very good in her role, in the company as kind of a little bit of a boisterous veteran. presence and just kind of asserts her will sometimes and does what she feels like, which Big Swole took exception to when she pulled her by her hair. So and then that kind of sparked Big Swole's friggin' drive into the second part of this match and just like,
right,
which kind of helped her ended up winning the match. It was a very good showing for her, and now that she just officially signed with AEW.
Yeah, which is good.
So yeah, good. Thank God we're establishing a few more women now. hopefully it keeps going.
yeah, and on that note, they announced for next week a number one contenders match against Riho, and it Britt Baker against Chris Statlander, who is also officially signed now.
So help me God, if Britt Baker wins that match, I
you will not be responsible for your actions.
I will probably just throw my head in my hands and just shake my head.
Wail to the heavens.
Yep, because that would be the horrendously bad booking decision.
Well, I guess we'll find out. Well, yeah, they've already been down that road with Britt Baker, and I don't think it's ever going to take off. But anyway, moving on. We get into the second hour. Oh, I take that back. To end the first hour, we had the return of Billy the Fish. Pac,
yeah,
is back, demanding his rubber match against Kenny Omega. Which, hey, you know what? Do it.
Yeah, can we just like do something with him? Because you know, not for nothing, one of the best wrestlers on the roster. I mean, hello.
Yeah, they're not doing as hot as they were when they started the show of featuring really good wrestlers.
Yeah, I really don't get it. Like this guy, and I think some of his frustration in this promo is rooted in reality. So I think he's kind of thinking, hey, you know, I came here thinking I'm going to be like a featured star, you know, trying to get away from what was happening to me in WWE. And now it's like same shit all over again for him.
Well, keep in mind, he did kind of miss Double or Nothing too, due to quote creative differences.
Yeah, well, I think that part of that stems from him going like, hey, you know, like what the fuck, I was told this was going to happen for me, and you know, I was told, hey, I'm getting away from this, and you're going to be this here. And obviously, they went back on their word a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him for protecting himself a little bit. Maybe it's not, you know, in the most professional way, but I get it from a wrestler's point of view. I get his frustration.
I mean, I know it's going to happen, and yeah, I hope they do the right thing at that point too. But I guess we'll see. But now we hit the second hour of the show, and you told me this privately. I think here the show's quality kind of took a dive a little bit.
Oh yeah, no, you're not kidding. When you trot out freaking Chairboy and his little sidekick that's when just things just go horribly wrong.
Yeah, so the first match of the second hour was Executive Vice President Kenny Omega and not Executive Vice President Adam Page against Sean Spears and Kip Sabian.
I think it should be said that the star of this match was Penelope Ford.
Yeah, you know what? I think you might be right.
She ruled in her like few spots that she did here. You know, she's Kip Sabian's valet, and maybe she shouldn't just be a valet. Hint, hint.
Come on. I mean,
like, hey, guess what? You probably could use some more talent in the women's division. Let's use her.
Yeah, I mean, we were treated to a video of Tully Blanchard, who was not present in this match, at least to start with, say that they were kind of recruiting Kip Sabian, which I thought he already had his own little unit with the Hybrid 2.
Yeah.
So I guess that kind of fell by the wayside.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny now that Sabian's getting involved here with this Spears and Janela thing, yeah, because for some interesting reasons. From what I heard, there was some disagreements.
A little bit of a dispute, you might say.
Basically this match was like, basically the main thing was here, they were trying to tease this little bit of dissension between Paige and Omega.
Yeah, I did notice that, yes.
So there was a couple instances of it here where, you know, at one point Omega went to, like, high-five Paige, and Paige just no-sold him. And he obviously later in the match, the finish, when he blind-tagged Kenny out and basically took the win from him.
Yeah.
With the somersault lariat.
The buckshot lariat.
Buckshot.
Yeah.
I always forget what he called it. Sorry. That's really like the main thing I could say about this match. I mean, there was your typical Kenny offense in this against those two. And obviously Penelope got involved a couple times, did some really cool stuff, but
they did the Janela kidnapping Tully Blanchard thing.
Then Janela goes and kidnaps Tully Blanchard, and nobody in the crowd gave a flying fuck, and I don't think one person reacted.
Yeah, I think more people reacted by the fact that the lights went out than anything. Yeah.
And then after that they were just like, oh, okay.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's good that there's some storyline continuity with Sean Spears and Joey Janela. It's just I don't give a flat fuck about it.
No, not many people do.
Considering Joey Janela, you know, by association, is turning out to be a bit of a scumbag.
From the updates I was given today on that situation, to the contrary, actually, but I will tell you more about that off.
Which updates? Well, no, let's talk about which updates are you talking about?
Oh, I mean, the whole thing with that girl screenshotted him on Twitter and everything.
I know nothing about this. I'm more talking about,
his associations with
his associations with I don't know, Teddy Hart or no neo-Nazi schlock.
Teddy Hart. What a guy.
Yeah. No, I don't know. So what's the screenshot that you're talking about?
Oh, it was some girl who called herself a sex worker on Instagram. She tried saying, like, Joey was, like, trying to be a reply guy to her and this and that. But, like, people and she was like, don't, like, message me if you aren't going to buy my nudes and this and that. And then before that, she was, like, messaging him beforehand anyway, because there was, like, previous tweets where she had, like, that she showed she was talking to him. So she kind of tried playing dumb about that. And it was just the whole stupid thing.
I completely miss that, but no, I was more talking about, you know, his associations with, you know.
And that is a very fair thing to hold him to.
And plus, he also threatened to slap a kid, so, you know, over Twitter, because, you know, the kid's dad spoke out about, you know, well, his associations, so, you know. Honestly, let's face it, outside of his matches with Moxley, Janela has not been all that in AEW.
No,
I mean, I've seen him have good matches. I still think that, you know, he and Leo Rush, I thought, worked really well together in Combat Zone, for example. But, you know, it's just... Yeah, I mean, in AEW, he hasn't been shit.
Oh, man. After this, though, and this is, and, you know, you want to talk about angles falling flat man, and just that's kind of been the story of a lot of AEW, man. It's there, and this is just yet another one with this Brandi Rhodes stuff, man. Oh my God. What is going on with this?
Yeah, I think, she tried to actually cut a Dusty Rhodes promo there by naming all sorts of names, but,
It's just like, it was all just like, insert name here with reference here.
And I'm gonna stick up for Britt Baker from this promo. Like, nobody cares about your boyfriend. She hasn't said shit.
That was like, yeah, like there was.
Yeah, she hasn't said shit. It was WWE's commentators who did it, which from allegedly, Paul and Stephanie kind of got shitty about that with their production people for doing that.
And so, yeah, it was like, it's like that wasn't even, she's never, it wasn't even relevant. It's just, it doesn't even make sense in the context of the promo.
And then Excalibur made the joke. I mean, that was it.
Yeah, she didn't say anything about it. So, like, her saying that just sounds, Brandi just sounds stupid in that sense of just like, you could have said, she could have said, like, hey, take a shot every time they mention Britt Baker's a doctor. Then that would have made actual sense.
No, and that was a and that would have been legit. But, bring up the Adam Cole situation, something she initially had absolutely zippo to do with,
Right. So yeah, that's just really stupid. I don't know, man. It's just, none of this just feels like it's going anywhere meaningful at all. It just seems like aimless, a shtick. I mean, that she's just, hey, I'm really crazy and I'm evil, and there's really like no like end game to it. It's just,
And we didn't even get Awesome Kong in this promo either.
yeah, I just don't. And it's, now there's some bald dude that's gonna be with her, so I
Yeah,
don't
was
know
yeah,
what that's
what
about.
did they recruit Mad Polly from Damnation?
We could only wish.
He was the only member of Damnation that was not in New York.
Sad, sad,
Yeah,
sad.
I was kind of, which led to a funny story, but anyway, I've told it before on an episode of Strong Style Story. So, anyway, so moving on, Excalibur and Tony Schiavone got what? What's up?
Oh man, Jericho is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, he, oh yeah, kicking out Excalibur and Tony Schiavone.
He was like, Excalibur doesn't actually know what lexicon means.
Schiavone, he's still doing the Schiavone from
Nitro.
Nitro.
He's been on me for 25 years. He's
Okay, that was good. Although that would have implied that Jericho was working in WCW in 1994, but that is not the case. But anyway, but moving on.
And then Hager, and then Hager's there too. He wasn't too talkative when he didn't have a 16-year-old girl to go after.
Oh damn! Oh boy! Yeah, we're airing some laundry tonight, aren't we? As well, we should. I mean, we have the voice. We should air some of this laundry out, right?
What an asshole.
Oh, he's a fucking maggot chud, you know?
Yeah, clearly.
And a noted transphobe, which is really hilarious, with Nyla being on the roster. But
Oh man, oh man.
yeah, but hey, Jericho's not partisan at all, of course. Yeah, anyway,
What do you think about this Sammy Guevara Luchasaurus match? I wasn't crazy about this.
it was fun. I mean it really helps by the fact that Jurassic Express are like really fucking over. So
Oh
that
yeah.
really helped. I was entertained by it. It wasn't a great match. I just, remember seeing Luchasaurus. The first time I saw Luchasaurus, do you remember Wrestling Circus?
Oh my God, the money marks.
Yeah. I saw him as like, what the hell is it? He had this very overly long match with John Morrison or whatever the hell he was calling himself
Oh
at the
yeah.
time. And I just like, I don't know. And then, he was briefly on Lucha Underground, of course, too.
Yeah.
But, yep. I mean, here he is just really come into his own. He is so fucking over.
Yeah.
And he was the whole, you know, and I have to admit, you know what? You know, as much as, you know, you, me, Chris, and everybody in our little circle, we were mocking the very idea of AEW.
Our inner circle. If I will.
we're all mocking just the very idea of AEW, but I tell you what, you know what, it was Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy were one of the first things that were like, you know what, maybe there is something here for me, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, it just continues, and it was great that he was able to come back from injury way earlier than expected, and he has capitalized and made the most of it.
Yeah,
And that post-match angle with, you know, Luchasaurus and Hager, and then, you know, Jungle Boy getting into it with Jericho with a mock pin.
Yeah.
I thought that was beautiful. I mean, the roof blew off the place. You know?
Sure did.
I mean, they are so over, which means we probably won't see them on TV in about 3 weeks. Well, I mean, other than the fact that, you know, Christmas is, there's no episode on Christmas. But I'm telling you, by the time 2020 the calendar flips, you know, based on how over they are, after this match, next week in Corpus Christi, we won't see Jurassic Express on TV for a while. Because that just seems to be how AEW is operating. So, but the match itself, it was fun. It was fun, but that's all it was.
Yeah.
You know? Which is fine. We can have fun TV matches, you know.
Yeah.
We're not looking for 5-star classics on a weekly TV show.
Right.
At least I'm not. I don't know. You might be. I'm not.
No, I'm not either now. No. I just thought it was a little sloppy, a kind of sloppy match.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and plus, you know, again, it was, once again, my frustration with when they go to commercial break.
I won't beat that drum again. I mean, it's just I've done it a million times.
Well, I'll beat it this time. Yeah, it really irritated me because also again I probably would have given the Big Swole Emi Sakura match, you know, a higher rating had we not missed part of it because they went to fucking commercial break.
I know.
And I mean, yeah, they really need to get their timing down on this better, you know. But afterwards, we got an announcement that is pretty relevant to my interests, in that we now know the next AEW pay-per-view. And it will be Revolution on February the 29th at the Wintrust Arena in actual Chicago. Not Hoffman Estates, not the suburbs. This is actually in Chicago.
But, I mean, really, another pay-per-view in Chicago, though? Like,
well, this is tied into the C2E2 comic convention.
Yeah, I know.
Which I will be at, of course, because that's my home convention. So,
yeah. Yeah.
And I've been to every edition. But, no, well, you know, keep in mind, too, that Pro Wrestling Tees is based here in Chicago as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, let's face it, Chicago is kind of a focal point of, you know, one of the focal points of this promotion. So, I mean, yeah, maybe it's too soon to have an actual pay-per-view there, but I think with C2E2 going on, too, and, you know, let's face it, Reed Pop, the owners of both C2E2 and the New York Comic Con, among others, they've been pretty heavy in promoting AEW because there was a big AEW panel at New York Comic Con back in October, the week that that Dynamite premiered. So I mean, it makes sense. I mean, yeah, it's kind of silly that, you know, this is the second pay per view to happen under the AEW banner in the Chicagoland area, and the second out of the and two out of the last three have been, but given the associations, it does make sense.
Yeah, I still think it's stupid.
No, fair enough. And of course the fact that they were just here too.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Or Dynamite.
you gotta have, like, you know, different bases for your pay. How you have three of your fucking, like, five pay-per-views that are in Chicago already?
Yeah, I mean, well, wait, are we counting?
Oh yeah, I am counting All In.
You are counting All In. Okay. I mean, come on, so, we all know that was a Ring of Honor show without the Ring of Honor name.
But still, I don't know. I just think it's weird. I don't like that.
Yeah. You know, I'm still gonna go to it, but I mean, I understand your point. It does seem kind of weird that they are kind of overstacking this. But I mean, how many damn times did Jim Crockett Promotions run out of the Omni in Atlanta? You know.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, I it is what it is. Now, if they do like three more during the course of 2020 from the Chicago area, then yeah, I'm gonna say this is a bit much. You know.
Yeah.
Especially since they keep talking like All Out's going to be like a yearly thing at the Sears Center in Hoffman Estates. So, but afterwards we get our main event, a Texas street fight. You know, one of these days I would just love to have a street fight happen in like some weird town that like you don't associate with street fights, you know. Like, I don't know, like Topeka, Kansas street fight, you know? Or something, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically...
Jackson Hole, Wyoming street fight. But that would require AEW to go to Kansas and Wyoming, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, wow. I hope that happens. I want to see that audience.
Yeah. It's probably they're probably both gonna be pretty monochromatic if I'm honest.
I just want to see some guys roll in on their like horses, trusty steed.
God.
Hangman really get some cowboy shit out there.
So it kicks off with the Bucks getting attacked on the ramp, and so what? The first 5 minutes of the match happen on the ramp.
Yeah, essentially. This whole thing was all kind of a blur to me, to be honest. There's just a lot of like, I don't know. I feel like these Young Bucks matches are just starting to blend again, one after another. They all just kind of blend in for me.
Yeah, it's like, well, yeah, and Jim Ross trying to build them up. Well, who knows if they're gonna win a street fight? Oh, Jesus Christ, JR, have you ever actually watched the Young Bucks? Because
oh yeah, I mean, yeah, obviously Excalibur earlier in the show made a point to be like, yeah, they like literally did the guerrilla warfare matches all the time.
Yeah,
like,
PWG. Or, yeah, the fights without honor, ladder wars. You know, take your pick. And yeah. Then the other real comment I had was that JR seems to be rubbing off on Tony Schiavone now.
Yeah, I guess on this show maybe a little bit he was.
Definitely this show.
The one funny thing from this was when Santana grabbed the Cowboys helmet and spit on it and tossed it.
And he rubbed it in too.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we're lucky that he didn't, swing the Matt didn't, hit Santana in the head with that helmet like they were teasing.
Yeah.
Given what's happened in the real world with regard to
that. Don't remind me.
Yeah, cause... well, don't remind me either because, yeah, there's just an embarrassing debacle, an embarrassing, sad debacle all around. I mean, you're not going to hear me gloating about that anytime soon, believe me.
Hmm.
But, yeah. Yeah, I mean, so the Bucks win. I mean, it was a fun little garbage match for TV. But we got the traditional stare down now. So we're gonna get a World Tag Team Titles match. It was only a matter of time before the Young Bucks decided to remember that. Oh yeah, we formed this promotion to put ourselves over, and well, here we are.
I get it. They're popular, so I'm not gonna. Yeah.
I mean, at the same, but yeah, if you want to see the so if you want to know when the actual end of this whole SCU shit is gonna be, it's gonna be next week in Corpus Christi. So.
Yeah. Oh, Corpus Christi, yep. famously hot wrestling crowds there.
Damn. Come on, it's Texas. I mean Dallas. I mean they were close to Dallas. I mean, too bad the Sportatorium ain't around anymore.
Oh, man.
And let's be honest. I mean, like, you know, Chris and I talked about a couple of times, you know, that G1 Climax opener in Dallas. They didn't sell out the American Airlines Center, but that crowd was fucking hot.
Yeah.
From start to finish. So who knows? I mean, and this was a good crowd, I thought, actually.
Yeah.
But... Not gonna argue against me on this one.
No.
Okay. Cool, Lawrence. So at least it looks like we have I think we pretty much have next week booked now, don't we?
Yeah.
We have Britt Baker versus Chris Statlander for the number one contendership for the women's title. We have. The Bucks and SCU for the tag titles. We also have a I'm sure just merely angle building match between Omega and Page against Pentagon and Phoenix.
Yeah, I get the feeling there might be some more quote unquote tension in there.
Yeah,
between those two.
Oh yeah, that's definitely gonna be that's definitely just angle building. Right there, and hopefully
they're
going to do the right result. So,
you think they're going to turn Paige heel, or is he going to be more of like a tweener? I don't know what I'm trying to figure that out. If that's what they're,
you know what, that would be the would be the obvious call that they're trying to heel turn Paige, which I thought he worked better as a heel anyway.
Right.
You know, yeah, going all the way back to his time in Ring of Honor when he was with, B.J. Whitmer in the Decade.
The Decade. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. The Decade. That was something.
Yeah, that was something. Yeah. It wasn't much of anything after Jimmy Jacobs left, but yeah.
God.
But yeah. So, and then we have the non-title... last 10 minutes in the ring with Le Champion, with Chris Jericho and Jungle Boy.
Yeah.
Jericho can't, really go too hard because, he has to rest up for his big match against Hiroshi Tanahashi on January 5th.
Yeah.
So, but hey, we have one more AEW Dynamite in 2019 because they're not going to work Christmas, and I don't blame them.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah, they are going to work New Year's Day, though. That's in Jacksonville. But, next week, December 18th, live from the American Bank Center in Corpus Christi, Texas. In Body of Christ, Texas. the good old Christian boys, the Young Bucks, I'm sure, are digging that. So, Lawrence, pros and cons.
Let's see. First half was great part of the show. Really, and the Cody and QT against Butcher and Blade was freaking awesome. Completely blew me away. I did not think this was gonna be much of anything, and boy was I wrong. And I think a lot of other people were too.
I'm kind of sorry I missed it.
Yeah, it was really just a well worked match, just good, like my kind of style of tag match right there. Obviously, Sakura Big Swole was pretty great.
Yeah, I really dug that match. Yeah,
pretty good for what it was. And besides that, I enjoyed like Jericho just being Jericho throughout this show, whether it was on commentary or at the beginning of the show with Mox. Cons, I mean, Jesus, I mean, Brandy is just, this whole Brandy thing to me is just like, oh, get it off my screen. I have no interest in it whatsoever. They have, like I said, they have made me lose, somehow made me lose interest in Awesome Kong of all people. And that is like, you have to try to do that.
Yeah.
Brandy has made this all about herself, and that is the exact opposite of what I wanted to happen in this company. And she's managing to do that, so that's great.
All Elite Wrestling.
Gotta love that. Gotta love it. Totally just trying to turn, you know, chicken shit into, you know, less shitty chicken shit. And it's just not
did your metaphor just kind of fall apart there?
It absolutely did, Jeff. I forgot what I was saying there for a second, but it's just bad. I'm sorry, but that Kip Sabian being added with Shawn Spears ain't gonna help Shawn Spears any. It's not gonna really do anything for either of them. I don't think, unless they somehow manage to magically find a personality, the both of them. I really don't see how this helps.
I'm gonna say, as far as my pros, I really enjoyed Big Swole versus Emi Sakura. I really, really wish he did not. We did not lose part of that match to the commercial break. I'm also going to give props to the latest installment of the Dark Order videos, because those have been great. They've been great. They've been intriguing and compelling. And now that it looks like they're moving into, you know, other talents on the roster, which is exactly what I wanted to see. So, you know, it's yeah. I kind of like where that's going. Cons, the commercial breaks are a huge con at this point. They're like really starting to take me out of matches. Even with the split screen, they're really taking me out of the matches now.
Yeah,
that has to be said. Not so much a con, but kind of a meh is, you know, this Omega and Paige angle that appears to be happening, which, again, we're probably going to see more of that next week in Corpus Christi against Pentagon and Phoenix. That was AEW Dynamite episode 11. So, for better or for worse. So, and we're heading to the final one next week. So, Lawrence, plug yourself.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at LOB_3. The Pure on the Rough podcast, we dropped episode 2 last week. 2 weeks ago. And we are going to be doing the third episode this weekend. And we're going to be talking a lot of different cards that come out, like the some of the Noah stuff at the end of the year, some of the All Japan stuff at the beginning of the year, the Noah stuff at the beginning of the year, some of the continuing working relationships like BJW and 01, and et cetera. There's more. So stay tuned. We're going to be having that coming for you.
And where can we find that?
Thank you. You could find that. You can search. We're actually on iTunes. You just look up Pure on the Rough on iTunes. We're also on the SoundCloud feed, soundcloud.com/PITRV2. We also, yeah, Stitcher. If you do use that, just look up our name. We're on there, so that you can find us there.
You can find me at Strong Style Story without the E in style on Twitter. My personal Twitter is at GD Wessel. That's 2 S's, 1 L. No busting balls this past week. We decided to take a break. Nothing really major happened. Although another manager did get fired, but not really one worthy of you know breaking in and doing a pod blast about it, as the Everton manager got sacked.
Oh,
but yeah. So we might do one this weekend. I haven't decided yet. I mean. We might as well, since now we you know we're heading into the knockout stages of the Champions League and the Europa League and all that. So we might be doing one this coming weekend. We don't know yet. It depends. Considering that the British elections are tomorrow, John may not be in the mood since he's in Wales. He may not be in the mood. Podcast about football if. Yeah, especially if the worst case scenario comes to pass. So, yeah. So anyway, that's it for me. Lawrence, any final words?
No, I'm pretty much all set.
All right. Well, hey, thanks a lot for listening to this. We have one more show for the year next week. So we'll see you next week.